What do you do when you have hundreds of acres on fire?
Get some water.
Me, I run.
Get some water.
Fire's over there. I'm going the other way.
Yes. Yep.
Yes, yes. Yes.
This guy goes into the fire. And I want to thank him for that. Jim Trusky, South Fire District Fire Chief in Middletown. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Chaz, AJ, and Ashley. How's everybody today?
Hello.
Good.
How are you?
Thank you. How you doing?
I'm doing fairly well. A little bit tired, but we're getting over it.
Is the fire out now?
The fire, I would say, I just met with the state fire crews, Rich Schenk, who represents the Western District. We're about 95% contained. We're going to have hand crews. They have about 25 to 30 people assembled that will be creating a more robust fire line today.
Nice.
Wow. It's still going.
Yeah.
It's still freaking going.
Oh, yeah.
It's going. The conditions, as everybody know, these are, you couldn't get better conditions for fire growth that we experienced here.
Really? Because I felt like it rained a lot lately.
Right. Well, it did rain, and you're absolutely right, Chaz. It did rain, but the rain wasn't appreciable enough, and as soon as the wind started picking up, it just dried out the forest floor immediately.
Yeah, the damn wind.
Didn't think of that.
Damn
wind.
Yep. And we're early on in the season where we don't have a canopy of leaves that'll hold the moisture down on the forest floor.
Oh.
So as soon as the sun comes up, it immediately dries out all the tinder on the ground.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I had no idea.
No.
I learned.
Don't throw your cigarettes out the window, first of all.
Yeah, no.
Fun facts.
Put them on your forehead.
Put them out in your mouth. man. How many acres are scorched? Do we know that yet?
Well, originally we thought we were up to 250 acres, and what we were able to use some assets from the Middletown Police Department. They have a drone. Also the Connecticut State Police. So we were able to get some really good accurate mapping, and we're just under 200 acres total.
Ugh, that's so many, though.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, which for the state of Connecticut, that's a sizable amount of acreage. And when you look at the Middletown, most people look at Middletown as a city.
Yes.
We have a tremendous amount of rural area here, especially in our fire district and South Fire District.
I didn't realize that.
I had no idea.
You know, I just think of houses and city and
the bridge.
Wow.
Yeah, we're on the south side of Middletown. So if you go south of the Aragone Bridge, south of Middlesex Hospital, we're down by Pratt and Whitney. So we abut Higginham and Haddam, and there's a tremendous amount of open land. And we do have wildland interface where we have homes that are built into the forest.
You were on site, right, for the fire, Jim?
Yes, I was. I've been on site since the inception. Immediately when the fire came in, we had a report of a tree down on a wire. We sent our Engine 32 on scene. My captain, Captain Fisher, immediately said, "Chief, I'm going to go down there just in case it turns into something." Well, talk about karma, fellas. It did turn into something.
Wow.
And thankfully, he was there really quickly. We were able to establish an incident command system immediately and just started calling in assets from around our neighboring communities.
At what point did you say, "Holy crap"?
I would say within an hour into the incident. Initially, I stayed at the station. I said, my captain knows what he's doing. Everything's under control. And, yeah, he knew what he was doing. But when I looked out my office window and saw a huge plume of smoke, I said, perhaps he could use a hand.
Right. This is not good.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I'm gonna go find
what's
that.
How many people did you have on scene?
We had over 100 firefighters. Wow. Over 100 firefighters that were from our immediate area and from across the state.
Any houses or structures burnt and any injuries?
Yep.
We heard about an ankle.
We did. Yeah, unfortunately, one of our firefighters from South District suffered an ankle injury. He's home recuperating. He's going to recover. We did, from the initial, the fire came in about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and we pull our crews out in the evening. The conditions are just too dangerous to put foot crews in at night. But we did have a fire line going around, and we were holding it in check. The DEP force recalled my house at about 11 o'clock at night, and said we had another fire starting to the south of it, and it's encroaching in on a home. So we immediately sent the resources, and sure enough, we had a fire that was taking off just as robust as the first fire and was heading towards the structure. Our crews immediately put lines in place. They protected that structure. The wind shifted, and then the fire started going towards an electrical substation.
Holy crap.
Damn.
Horrible.
Yeah,
holy crap. I'm kind of busy.
Well, from bad to worse, right?
Yes. So was it that line that started both fires?
We're unsure. The initial fire did start from that tree falling on the power line. The second fire is under investigation because it just doesn't quite line up yet. So we're looking into that a little bit more closely.
Interesting.
Wow. Mm.
Speaking of power lines, we did have a very unusual thing happen here. This fire is transected by a transmission line that goes from the substation down towards Pratt and Whitney. And our crews were kind of set up in a general area. And when the fire started to grow in intensity, obviously creates a great volume of smoke. And the fire was wind-fed, and the smoke was tremendous. And the smoke started obscuring the transmission lines. And the transmission lines carry about 340,000 volts. And there was enough smoke that there was a continuity of carbons in the smoke that created a direct line from the transmission line to ground, and we had explosions and basically lightning happening around us.
Wow. Holy crap!
Like, you didn't have enough going on.
What else can they throw at you?
Well, don't ask. There was no tsunami would have been good. put the fire out.
At that time, I'm thinking to myself, what have I done in my life to deserve this?
Right. Let me think back. Is this your biggest fire, Chief?
This is a sizable fire, yes. Forest fire-wise, yes. I've been the chief here since last July. I've been a member here for 8 years. I've collectively been in the fire service for 37 years, and
I must say
this was quite a challenging fire.
Wow. Yeah. Now, when I was a kid, White Hills Fire Department had this really cool brush truck.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of woods up there. They had a really cool truck. Like, I always wanted to drive that truck. Oh, it has all that. Man, it looks like it's
old military trucks.
Yeah, it's an old military truck all jacked up with big tires. And were you guys bringing those in to fight the fire?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have one.
Nice.
So, see that?
I want to drive. Can we get a ride?
Yeah, come on up. We'll give you a ride.
Now, the brush. Give me a ride. That's smart.
Different.
Don't let me drive it.
Yeah
right.
Guess who broke the brush truck?
Chad.
That truck had a bunch of backpack tanks on it. So you would take these water tanks, put them on, and walk into the fire.
Right.
Limited amount of water, then you got to walk back and fill up. Were you fighting the fire like that? I would think that the guys have to have oxygen tanks on, right? So how are you getting water to the fire?
So we had we called in our mutual aid partners. We had the state we have a state fire coordinator team come in, and we were able to bring assets and resources in from around our area. So we had tanker trucks, a complement of brush trucks, and we did have some people in there with we call it indigenous people tanks. They used to be called Indian tanks, and we go into the woods with them. And they carry 5 gallons of water, and you'd be surprised the amount of fire you could put out with 5 gallons of water. Because what we do is we create a fire line where we effectively rake and blow all of the fuel load, being the leaves, away from the fire, and then we just will darken it down with a little bit of water, and you could create what we call a fire line around the fire.
That's amazing.
And it's how much beer night.
How much does you pack it with beer? I'm sure that you're not the first person to say, hey, you know what that'd be good for? Beer.
Right. I was just thinking all the pee.
Wow. How much do those weigh?
Well, it's 8 gallons a pound, so that's 45 pounds.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Holy crap. You got to be in good shape.
Yes, you do.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to just fold over like a card.
Oh, my God. I just carry a chainsaw up a hill, and I'm like, I need a break.
Yeah.
But, thankfully, I can't thank my surrounding partners, our surrounding partners.
Do you have to go? Are you busy?
Is there an emergency?
Is there a fire?
Yeah. Well, you know, we're a career department. The city department's a career department. We have 8 guys on per shift, and we have neighboring departments, our community partners here. They're all volunteers, and they all came. They all left their jobs, and they were here for the long haul, and we had to call them back yesterday. And without hesitation, they came and helped us again.
That's wild.
Right.
I mean, you know, we don't think about this.
No.
You know, we see a fire truck like, good, got a fire truck. But the amount of information you need to know and the amount of stress and work that goes into doing something like that. Think about if we didn't have you guys.
Seriously.
Like, be burning. We'd be losing houses and buildings.
Yeah, a lot of burnt places around
did
here.
Did any animals die in this? And did you...
Yeah.
Like deer burnt
they're
pretty smart.
Wildland loss of life. They're resilient. They're smart. They're a lot smarter than us because I think at the beginning of the show you said everybody runs out, we run in. So they were running out.
Who do you think of the call? The deer.
No, but my theory about where man started eating meat was there was some great forest fire, and the cavemen were walking through, and they were like, that smells pretty good.
You smell burnt.
Maybe we should. Maybe instead of the raw meat,
right?
Maybe we try it this way. Let's cook it over a fire.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to add to the challenge that we had. We had the second fire at about 1-2 o'clock in the morning on the second day, and so we had all of our resources. Now, where this fire is located in our district is far remote from our station. And we had all the resources here, and then we're fighting the fire. And dispatch had called me and said there was a house at 145 Freeman that was getting smoke in their house. So I said, okay, I'll go check this out. It's got to be from the brush fire. So I start driving down the street, and I noticed that I'm getting a little bit further away from the fire, and dispatch kept giving me reports that the smoke's getting thicker in the building. So at that time, our crew, Lieutenant Hyden and his crew from Engine 32, started packing their hose lines up in anticipation that we may have another incident going on. I rounded the corner, and sure enough, there was a structure fire.
Holy crap.
He said, yep.
Yeah. And to add to that, we had 4 people trapped on the second floor, and two children and 2 adults.
What?
I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah.
You did ask.
I asked. It's my fault.
It's all your fault.
Wow.
No, that was a surprise for you guys. So our crews immediately went to work. We had firefighters go inside. They effectively rescued the 4 people within minutes. And truthfully, they were within minutes of something horribly bad happening to them. So
wow.
Good for our people.
Good job.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I think beer's this weekend at the firehouse.
Lots of them.
Yeah.
The irony is, our assets wouldn't have been this close if it hadn't been for this fire. So
really,
it's amazing. And again, our partners picked up and they came and they assisted us. The city of Middletown came in to assist us, and it took a really bad situation that could have been horrific, and it turned out to have a good end, happy ending.
So
I couldn't be prouder of all of our members.
Well, Chief, sounds like they got the right chief there at the Salt Fire District in Middletown. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you and all your people. Nice job.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to take you up on that ride.
Yeah.
I'm going to drive it.
He's like, we got to sell the truck now.
You ever see one of those trucks?
Yeah.
They are so badass.
Yes, they are.
White Hills had a split windshield. You know, one of those old...
Yeah, probably like a leftover from the World War II.
Probably.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. I wonder if they still have it.
True. Someone let you know.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to them.
Yep. Good job, guys.
Hard workers.
As always.
Hard workers.
Yes, yes.